Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Ah, yes, Valentine's Day. Woo! And only $5 over budget.
Oh, if you...
Here's your song.
Thank you. Can you hit that again?
I stepped all over.
All right. Now, roll.
I love this fact. It's almost like you've been recentered.
Count us down.
In three. Beautiful, beautiful, a thing of beauty. Why did you come in? The first thing you asked for today was the logo of New Line Cinemas in the 1980s. Why?
So for those of you that grew up in the 80s and really the 90s, if you heard that,
there is a
soothing feeling. And look, I might be the only one, but I wanted to throw this out there on air. When I heard that before I watched License to Drive a few days ago with the two Coreys.
Oh boy,
Corey Feldman and Corey Haim.
A million things wrong with this, but go ahead.
That came on,
yeah,
and it brought, like, it transported me, like music does, to a better time, a more innocent, a time when I was a kid in Silver Spring, Maryland,
yes,
in the little shoebox townhouse that my dad would keep us in for the majority of my childhood,
yes,
in the basement, and they would have left home. They finally sprung for HBO,
right,
and the summers. That when I wasn't
only
out playing,
in the summer,
when I wasn't playing baseball or getting in trouble with Winnie Max and Drew Maxim, the Haitians that lived up the street, the twins.
So they were sort of ahead of the curve because I used to just for a while just get HBO when The Sopranos was on and then cancel HBO. So you were a summertime HBO family.
Yeah, my parents were. My parents were. And it's a babysitter for kids.
Mm.
And my sister and brother would be having girlfriends and boyfriends, and they'd just pretend like they were taking care of me, but they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But movies.
Yeah.
Whether I biked up to Wheaton Plaza, I'm sure that's safe, or saw them by myself then or with a couple friends or watched them at home. That New Line opened, the logo,
yeah,
that really, really changed. I forgot how important that sound was for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I can feel you. I have the same. I'm trying to see if I have it actually in my computer. I have the same feeling with this. This is the Warner Brothers music for the 1940s.
You didn't grow up with this.
It was always there. I knew that when I heard that logo.
What decade did you grow up in?
Some say not yet.
No, but really.
In the 70s and 80s. But that's a 1940s
you can't
movie.
You 1940s and say that gives you all the warm and fuzzies of being a kid.
It does. It does because I watched this movie a million times when I was a kid.
What is this, Caligula?
No, this is Casablanca, call it White House.
Yeah, the White House.
But it's a
1900.
1942. Warner Brothers. The cool thing is the Warner Brothers logo, not unlike the logo that you played for New Line, was always incorporated into the music. So this was part of every beginning. This part.
Hmm.
But then it dissolves into the overture. They sort of build it into the overture.
Can you play that one and then play the New Line one?
Yeah,
uh-huh. Back to back.
Well, I can play. Okay, so there's Casablanca, right? And then let's see. I have to do a little...
Searching?
A little juggling. Just a little juggling. And then we have this.
That is so much cooler.
No, I don't know if it's cooler. I would say it's very different.
The other one, the fidelity's all off.
Well, because it's an older recording. That doesn't take away from the quality
like
of what
garbage.
It is.
Garbage.
It does not
New
sound
Line
like garbage.
New Line had it right.
All right. So you want to... You know, New Line do all of the Freddy Krueger movies?
No. But New Line did a lot of coke, though, I heard.
That was the line?
Yeah, New Line. That's how the producers and the founders of New Line decided. What are we going to call the company?
You see, I'm not.
Hole in One Productions. Oh, no, we're not going to do that.
Booger Sugar and Unlimited.
I need a New Line. Hey, New Line.
I'm not trying to argue with you when, in fact, I'm in agreement with you.
We're going to make 1980s movies with the Haims until one of them dies.
Which one do we still have?
We have Feldman.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we lost Haim.
Haim.
Now, is that a good trade?
Well, Look,
Sophie's choice.
You're talking to the wrong guy for the Corys, because
right.
I can't. The Corys are part of my childhood.
Right.
Like all their movies. Like I lived off their movies growing up.
Well, I mean, Feldman made The Goonies, which is ostensibly probably his high. And also, he was in
Mouth?
Stand By Me.
Yes.
Those are two
Dream
great
a Little
movies.
Dream. What do you know about that?
Dream a Little Dream, not probably at the tier of those other two.
Oh, man. They all went wrong.
Is Tony Danza in License to Drive? Is he the dad?
No, that's She's All That, if
okay.
I'm not mistaken.
All right.
How do I know that?
Well, I just think it's wonderful that you knew it so quick.
Yes. but you should know that for those of you kids out there listening.
Yeah. You youngsters.
T.O. Scott and T.O. Rob have completely vast different views on the entertainment world. But the logo is something you could really judge us on. If you really want to encapsulate what our lives are about, he's got a 1940s open to films that he loves.
Stirring.
I have something
beautiful.
From the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
So think about, hey, who knows what's going on right now?
Where do you weigh in on a quiet, blackened theater, screen lights up, roaring lion, no music, MGM?
Rawr.
Yeah, do you like that? The MGM logo?
You know what I do like?
What's that?
Is the Fox one. The Fox, was it?
20th Century Fox for Star Wars? I want people to know that that's not the actual recording.
But that's how that goes.
That is exactly how it goes. And that one, that's an important one to me too, because that's all the Star Wars movies.
Let me hear that one.
Okay, I'm bringing it up right now. And that is known as the 20th Century Fox with the CinemaScope extension, because they had that extra part
chills.
At the end of it.
I get the chills.
It's great. It's great. And then
not
if you
as great
that,
as New Line. New Line is like an old girlfriend. Oh, what's this? Oh, see, this is why this works.
See, you got to go right
yeah,
into
yeah.
this from
this is
there.
The hot chick.
Yeah, that
the
is not good. I'm glad to know that New Line Cinemas is your old girlfriend.
Yeah, she's
the
like,
old regular.
She's like the old steady back burner chick. She's always there for you.
Yeah.
And then 20th Century Fox, she's like, ah, the hot chick's here.
Yeah.
It's hard to compare the two.
And Warner Brothers, of course, is a corpse.
No, Warner Brothers, no. That's
a
corpse. That's a nana I never knew.
What about Columbia Pictures with the Statue of Liberty?
Oh, what's that? I forget what that one sounds like.
Well, I'm just talking logos now. I mean, this is not a.
Oh, no. I always. And I don't think it's. Is it the Statue of Liberty? I think it's just a lady with a lamp.
Well, I think it's an implication of the Statue of Liberty.
I thought it was a mermaid for years.
And there, you know, you talk about why you know about She's All That.
Yes.
Why do I know this? The lady that modeled for the Columbia logo was named Jane Chester, like in the 1920s. That's in my head somewhere.
There's got to be some sort of situation here where you had a really close relative that did something to you in some closet, because there's no reason why you should love all these old movies unless...
Our house had no closets.
No.
It was...
I believe that.
It was such a small house.
I believe that.
We had no... We used a lot of dressers.
No one should know that fact.
I know, right?
Like, it does not... And I'm happy you do, because I guess the only place that would exist and you could monetize it is here on this type of program.
Did we just monetize it by saying it?
I mean, I think of what skill sets you would have to go anywhere. So you can edit with the best of them. You can
Thank
produce.
You.
You can kill. But then if you wrote vast knowledge of... film noir from 1900 to 1950 is your sweet spot.
Right.
Like, where do you take that?
You don't. You
right?
don't. I could possibly do a podcast with Gary Stein.
We know how that went the first time.
Exactly.
Yes.
So we're going to backburner that
yeah.
with the other chick.
Yeah, that's what I would say. But New Line, okay, I'll be
But also
respectful.
Keep in mind, you know what?
Let me hear the 1940s guy again.
You're screaming about how... You know, current you are. You're talking New Line. That's almost 40 years ago. You're talking. So I mean,
yes, you're talking not, 80 years ago.
Yeah,
I'm doubled you. I'm 100% up.
But you see, it's not all that current. That's what I'm saying. You're not 100% current. You're good. I mean, you're in your wheelhouse.
This isn't a currency. This is a relevancy.
I would say
argument.
That, I would say that the movies.
How
of the 19th,
relevant are we?
Well, I would say actually, in the grand scheme of
you're
things,
wrong.
Casablanca is more relevant than anything that the Corys made.
Well, we're not talking about the films, though. We're talking about the movie open, the movie house open.
Yeah, but you see,
you're changing the argument.
No, you're changing the argument.
No, what are you
no,
talking
you are.
About?
You're talking about relevancy. So I'm talking about movies that have my open and that era
yes.
are more relevant than the New Line Cinema. You're talking relevancy. I think that I'm right here. Of course.
I disagree.
Well, you know, it's fine. Here we go. Listen to this. This thing of beauty.
This changes people's lives.
See, because that, you know what? That might not be that movie. It could be another movie, too. Because all the great Warner Brothers films.
All the greats. Yeah. All the greats, people.
Yeah.
New Line. Let me get a New Line.
Hold on. I'm going to play you another example. I got another example for you here.
You can open multiple tabs.
I know.
I feel like we need to bring somebody in with a computer.
Is that what you feel like?
Yes, because it's taking forever.
You could actually, how about this?
Yes.
For Christ's sake.
Well, there we go. We're going to blow up the bit.
No, we're not going to blow up the bit.
How about you just go to what I said and then not show me another example of this because you know where that is already.
All right, here you go. You wanted, which did you want first? New Line?
I want a New Line, please.
New Line,
please.
Shall have New Line, all right? Boom.
All the warm and fuzzies. Look at this. Does this do anything for you?
It's a wonderful logo.
Does it do anything? Do you get like a stirring in the pants?
No. I get the stirring in the pants for Warner Brothers.
What about 20th Century Fox?
20th Century Fox, yes, that stirs my pants. I love the 20th Century Fox.
I get the chills when I hear
stirring my
that.
Pants. So,
like, hey, look, Emily's back from the past.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't wait to talk to her in just a bit as we front sell our next segment.
Oscar, you're killing me. Help me out here.
Oh, my God. I'm going to pad as long as I can while big fingers and thumbs move their hands across an iPad.
That's right.
Just open another tab. You can have them all ready for you.
No, because they're all in different applications.
Oh, okay. Got it. So which ones do you own inside your registrar, your box?
Right now I have the Star Wars music. Okay. That's in iTunes.
Yes.
New Line is on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And also
20th Century Fox is in iTunes?
20th Century Fox is in iTunes. So here we go.
Let's do this. There she is, Emily. She's back.
So you're giving her a theme now?
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's nice. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da.
Woot!
I tried to sing the bass line, and it ended up sounding like Pony.
Yeah, that was nice.
Hey, here comes a Star Wars movie.
And with that, we can start the show.
Oh, can we?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Sit your monkey ass down. Chill out. I know it's bad right now. With all that starving bullshit and the dust storms, and we running out of French fries and burrito coverings.
Yeah.
But I got a solution.
That's what you said last time, dipshit.
You got a solution? You're a dick.
South Carolina, what's up?
That's what I thought. Now, I understand everyone's emotional right now, but listen up. I got a three-point plan to fix everything.
Break it down, Camacho!
Number one, we got this guy not sure. Yeah. Number two, he's got a higher IQ than any man alive. Yeah. And number three, he's gonna fix everything. I give you my word as president. Yeah. He'll fix the problems with all the dead crops. He's gonna make them grow again. Yeah. And that ain't all. I give you my word. He's gonna fix the dust storms too. I give you my word. He's gonna fix the economy. He's so smart. He's gonna do it all in one week.
President Camacho stood before the world and promised everyone that Joe would solve all their problems. He would not only end the Dust Bowl and heal the economy, but he would cure acne and car sickness as well. And if he didn't, President Camacho made another promise. He would kick Joe's smart balls all the way up to the roof of his smart mouth, and then he would throw his brainy ass back in jail. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now,
the best of O'Mara.
That we welcome Rob and Joe to the show today. Hello, gentlemen. You get another round of applause.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Hello. Hey. Rob and Joe see their murder mystery back to the 80s. Thursday, April 11th at the DC Improv. Tickets available at dcimprov.com. The first three people to get in get a tattoo on their balls.
And it'll be slightly different than the show that we did in Vegas because there won't be 20 minutes of Justin talking about Mike's sex life with his beautiful wife.
That's true.
He was, that usually is not Carla part of the show. Carla was flattered. I was flat. No, I was not flat. I was embarrassed. But it was but embarrassed in a, you can be embarrassed right. in a nice way.
Yes.
You just, I don't know how to handle that. You
Nobody
know?
Would.
I
mean,
by the way, I'm used to listeners coming up to me and approaching me and greeting me like this. Hi, Mike. You know, Rob, how many times have you gotten those, right? Where people come and go, hey, Rob.
Yeah. They say, oh, yeah. I like, know what you do.
What did I do? I didn't do anything to you. You know, I'm doing, making my living here.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Anyway, I would like to salute the United States of America for being last in the world to ground the plane. Now, we've been talking about it. We're not an issues-driven program, but I will tell you that this was just top of mind to me. Two stories that I felt I could not do a show without talking about would be the FAA and the grounding of the 737 MAX and the hideous, heinous cheating scandal with college that Oscar really didn't think that was a big deal. I got pissed. I talked to another radio guy yesterday down here who was telling me about a great get. The guy's, I think the show is called Miller and Moulton down here.
Okay.
Guy's name is Mark Miller. I play a lot of golf with the guy. And he does a sports talk show. And down here, I don't know if you guys saw it nationally, that Warner Wolf had defaced
I saw this.
The property of his Naples home, where that he didn't like the signage or something. I don't know the details
he's
of the story.
He's retired now, right? He's not
he's
doing
retired,
anything down there.
And he's down here in Naples, and he didn't like the sign in the homeowners association. And he tried to take the sign down. He damaged the sign and got arrested. And apparently was just cleared of all charges. And this guy rolls up to me yesterday and said, we got Warner on this morning. I didn't get a chance to listen to it because I was prepping for this show. But I said, what a great get. And I said, oh, man, you know, I said, I think when we had him on the Don and Mike show a million years ago, the guy was curmudgeon-y even back then.
Yes.
We said something to him along the lines of, well, Warner, thanks for joining us, and stop by the studio when you get to D.C. He's like, well, I don't know about that. And we're like, dude, we're just, remember that? We're
just
being polite.
Pretend.
Exactly.
We're just being
exactly.
polite to the effort. We're just being polite. So I say to this guy, I say to him, well, you know, you could probably, if he was that way then,
oh,
he's
God.
Probably, and he's a guy that's tearing into a sign in the front of the community. He's got to be old man nasty now. Like, and you could probably light his candle, and that's all I would do would be just trying to make him so angry. And he said, no, I don't like homeowners association fees. I don't like homeowners association. I'm like, all right, okay. So he's going to commiserate with the guy. I got to ask how it went like that.
Or he's going to get his balls tattooed. That's what I heard.
Warner Wolf's balls.
Probably at this stage of the game, probably a much bigger target.
Yes.
I would imagine if we do this. But because these issues have killed me this week, I watched the FAA administrator. I forgot what the guy's name is, but he's on national TV. And, you know, congratulations being the last major country, the last country that agreed to ground these planes.
All right.
And,
we'll do
and then
it.
And they did it like in the last minute.
Yeah,
it's like everything. There was no real process done. And people are in airports. Oscar texts me and says people are going bat-ass because their flights are being canceled on this particular airplane. But it's just...
It's embarrassing.
It's totally embarrassing. And they tried to pin the guy down. Why didn't they do it? And he says to the Today Show host, you know, Savannah, he says, well, you know, the FAA is a data-driven organization. It's like, okay, here it comes. You didn't have enough data. He said, we just don't want to go on our gut. No, when 50 other countries in the world are going on their gut.
The data shows that you're the last nation to do it. And also, this is made even worse by the feeble gesture of making an FAA official fly on the jet yesterday with her crew.
Cho, I think, you know, Margaret Cho.
Yeah, exactly. That's who it was.
The FAA.
She got out of comedy and got right into government. But
lateral move.
But the thing about that story is that she brought her staff along. That's funny.
Can you imagine? Hey, guess what we're doing today? No!
Right.
Get on the plane. Get on the plane.
God. How many of these planes are there that are in the that
I
are
heard
flying?
Today, are 250 flights a day in the United States. American carriers fly 250 of these a day. They're big, right? They're the biggest 737.
But that doesn't mean 250 planes, though, right? Because it's the flights.
No, it's 250 flights a day. And then the problem, apparently, is this software issue that the plane starts to take off, and then the computer goes like that, and the plane nosedives into the ground. So we'll keep you posted. And the other thing that was issue-driven, and I welcome your thoughts on it, is this this college cheating scandal where, you know, it just gets
Varsity Blues scandal.
It's a great name.
I hate to do this, but I have to. Okay. Uh-huh. I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I finally got to look at, I think it's Lori Loughlin. Is she the what is it? She's the Fuller House lady.
Full House and Fuller House, both.
So I saw maybe a 5 second clip of one of the kids. And let me see, just even in that 5 seconds, I'm like, yeah, I can see where there might be a little help required there.
Yes.
I was talking to a recent college graduate last night, a friend of mine's son, and he said, this scandal is really bad, but why would it take $500,000 to get into USC? He says, not Harvard. That's not Yale. That's USC.
Yeah that guy shook him down. He would have accepted way less,
I would think so, yeah.
The other thing, and I don't know whose kid it was, so I don't want to identify it, but they said that the guy that was cheating on the SATs that was getting paid apparently $10,000 to take the SATs, they at one point to help on whatever portion of the test, the fake guy that was taking the test had to get a handwriting sample from the kid, and the handwriting sample was like Charlie's handwriting sample was like, this is my name that I'm writing right now. You know, and so it begs the question to me.
I have children.
So true.
That's Rob Mayer. That is Rob Mayer right there. That's you said. And you're not even engaged yet, are you?
No. I should never have said anything.
Your partner right there. Well, you bring it up.
He's getting married in 2 months.
Yeah, in 2 months in Mexico. Would you guys like to come?
Oh, I would love to.
Absolutely. You know, what part of Mexico are you going to be?
We're in. It's in between Riviera Maya and Cancun. So it's called like Riviera Cancun. It's some all inclusive. Too many people are coming, though. You know, when you have a destination wedding, it's so you only have to.
Right. You don't want people to go.
Yeah. It's like 20 people. It's like, hey, we really don't want you there.
Yeah. But if you're having a destination wedding in Riviera Maya down around Cancun, what I hate would be the destination wedding that, you know,
Milwaukee.
Cindy.
We got an all inclusive.
Yeah. It's in January.
Cindy really wanted us to get married on the patio at the Harley Davidson factory. And we're bringing you up right now. No, it's cool. That's why. Because you got a relatively, in Cancun, you can get a relatively decent rate.
Yep. Yeah. Pretty cheap.
Especially since the cartel decided to murder some people down there, too.
Well, that's the only place you can go and be safe, so maybe the rates are jacking up a little bit.
Yeah, we're flying that 737 MAX.
Precisely.
Yeah, we're flying the 737 MAX down to Cancun, and we're not going to be staying at one of the premier hotels. We're actually going to be staying in town near one of the local bars.
It's all-inclusive. You got crime, all-inclusive. Murder,
come by.
Drugs. And,
say hi to the locals. It should be something in there.
You just go to the end of this street, turn left at the armed guard, and you're there.
Real quick, back to the scandal. So I haven't really read up a whole lot on it, but isn't the idea that somebody did this, they were caught, now they're being tried and likely prosecuted and likely go to jail? Doesn't that mean the system's working? I mean, just because there are bad individuals out there doing bad things, that happens all across all economic classes and all cultures and everything.
Are you saying that the silver lining to this is that they scam the system and they were caught? That justice is being served?
I don't even know that it's the silver lining. It's like the immediate narrative is, oppressor, oppressed. Well, no. I mean, even like Harvey Weinstein, right?
Right.
He's very powerful. He's probably also very competent in terms of what he did. Mm-hmm. But then you find out these atrocities and they supersede all that. So this idea that these powerful people get to do all these things, well, actually they don't, because as soon as they're exposed, they either go to jail or they get punished. So
I get what
that's
you're
valid
saying.
And it's probably not as big of a story except for the fact that it's got a desperate housewife and a full house lady in it, and that
yes.
that allows them to
and
really
some
really
lady
cover
that's,
it.
That's like an expert in finding jobs that has a television show who just looked at
right.
She's got they bring up the hypocrisy, which is hysterical. She had some sort of Instagram or tweet where it said, "Don't cheat." This big thing she posted one day, and they have a clip of her telling one of her people that she's advising, whatever you do, don't lie on a resume.
Right.
And she's a big one for that. So your point is right, that they can be taken down for bad behavior. And I think what comes out of things like this is you will have a renewed vigilance in the college system.
Absolutely.
So people,
yeah.
My only issue yesterday, and this is what pissed me off about it, remembering my attempts, to transfer into BU's broadcast program. No, let me hit the buzzers for the ones I got denied from. Rejection letters. Trying to get in the School of Communications at Boston University,
okay.
Ithaca College, Syracuse University, and then American University. Welcome.
Oh,
come
yes,
on
of
down.
Course.
I was going to say,
yes,
do we have enough time for this segment?
Many tears spilled, Joe. Many, many tears too. But no, you're right. But and hopefully this will make it so people aren't likely to do it again. But you're right. $500,000 to do something to like bribe an administrator and a coach to get into USC and
for her not even to take classes, just to party. You could just buy a house on campus, and she can just live there.
You can buy a beautiful house.
You can
house.
Experience the college lifestyle without going to class.
You can give her whatever you're trying to get for her after college. Just give it to her now.
Exactly.
Yes, just hand
exactly.
it to her. Hand it to her.
Yeah, I think it has to do with the parents, too.
The best of O'Mara.
News.
Oh, that's loud.
Boo. All right, let's talk about it. I'm not a personal friend. I'm a fan, but it was kind of a gut shot for me. Alex Trebek was just diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. He's 78 years old. He posted a video. Either of you guys see the
yes.
video that he posted
yes.
yesterday? What a brave dude. Just to handle it that way. It's hard. You know, it's the most
Maybe
devastating
you gotta, what,
3%? Thing you can get. Yeah, just a terrible rate. Killed a friend
Fatality
of mine,
rate.
A young man in his 40s, one of my best friends back in the day. And that's the first time ever as a young adult that I, as a young man, I was not really a young adult. I was, I was in my 40s. And it was one of the first times I ever had to go to a wake and see a contemporary because of pancreatic cancer. It's such a drag. Normally, as he said, the prognosis for this is not very encouraging. But Alex says, I'm going to fight this. I'm going to keep working. And with the love and support of my family and friends and with the help of your prayers, also, I plan to beat the low survival rate statistics for this disease. So, yes, he will continue to host Jeopardy, at least for now. He's getting chemo. He has a fantastic sense of humor. This is his joke at the end. Truth be told, I have to beat it because under the terms of my contract, I have to host Jeopardy for 3 more years. So help me keep the faith and we will win. I was just... You can't not be blown away by the balls
like
of Alex
yeah.
Trebek and what he's having. You know, you forget how old he is. He is 78 years old because he's a youthful guy, and you just don't realize it. And, you know, for whatever reason, I don't want to take any blame for this. I've been talking about Jeopardy again and again and how I'm just committed to it.
You were mad at it last week.
I was mad at it for their Tournament of Champions. Last night was back to normal. Yay! It was great. By the way, look, I don't like to brag, okay? I really don't like to brag, but I got the winning answer in Final Jeopardy, and none of the principals did. All right?
What was it?
The champion. Oh, God. Oh, no. Let me think.
Emily.
Oh, God. Oh.
Latina woman.
Oh, I wish I remembered it. Oh, now I'm... See, I was there, and I got it, and I high-fived my wife because I got it, but I'm trying to think. Oh, no.
It's okay.
It was a mechanical term... That was also used. Oh, now I gotta
in
get
a blender.
It. Now I forgot it. But you know he's a brave guy and
you want to call Carla.
Carla is she won't remember it. I guarantee
she I'll probably will. I think you better benefit of the doubt.
All right. I don't know. She's working out with her mom.
Rolfo is also looking for
Let
the...
Let me see what happens. Can you hear me, Carla?
A desk station.
Hey, hey, do you remember what the final answer in Jeopardy was last night? What was it? What was it about? Do you remember what it was about?
Oh gosh,
it was some term. It was like a mechanical term that was also used.
Backlash.
See, she knew. She knew.
Backlash. Yeah, I got backlash in the thing. God bless you. Thank you, Carla. Big win. Thank you.
Big
love
win.
You. Love you. Bye, sweetie. Say hi to Rofo. Oh, she's gone. I'm sorry. That was not directed
at
you, Rofo.
Story is life.
So, yeah, backlash was the winning answer on Jeopardy last night, and I was very, very excited about it. It was very, very cool. So, Alex Trebek, good luck. Wouldn't that be great if he could, even at his advanced age? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And if he doesn't, full life, wonderful life. And I yelled at a couple of listeners on the fan page that were saying, yeah. "What is
no bad shtick."
Yeah, what is death sentence? I'm sorry, man. No, I make jokes about death all the time. Funniest joke I ever made about death was my mother going to the assisted living facility where we were driving in a car with a full load of people, and I thought that was funny. And we said, by the way, stage one, you go to your house in your assisted living. You have a car. You can go to the city if you want. Stage two, somebody needs to help you. They come in and they can help you with, day-to-day tasks and maybe getting dressed and that side. Stage three, there's a full-time nursing facility. And at that moment, my sister was driving by this cemetery with my mother and my my children in the car. And she pointed to the cemetery and said, and that would be stage four. But anyway. But, you know, there is a time and a place, and it just... rub me the wrong way to see people being flip about this just because he's the host and ha, ha, mm-hmm. ha, what is death sentence? Ha, ha, you know, not funny. I didn't dig it. I called him out on it. So there you have it. Lucille Ball. This is a particular story where it would be a good idea to have Rob Spiewak here today because he would love this. She died in 1989. That's 30 years ago. From a rupture of the aorta, but she may have been dealing with heart issues for years before that. There's a show on the Reels channel called Autopsy, The Last Hours Of. God, you know, what are you going to do? I'm going to go home, watch Dr. Pimple Popper, and then I'm going to watch Autopsy, The Last Hours Of. Yeah, and then I'm just going to, then I'm going to go to sleep by lifting the rock up and sliding underneath it. That's what I'm going to do. Anyway, this week they're investigating Lucille Ball's death. A forensic pathologist, his name is Michael Hunter, he says that as early as 1984, Lucy was using a drug called amyl nitrate, more commonly referred to as poppers. Poppers are liquid inhalants that give you an intense buzz. They actually became popular as an aid to gay sex, but Dr. Hunter says that originally amyl nitrate was, quote, a prescription drug to treat pains in the chest.
Ooh.
So Lucille Ball was doing poppers. Do you know early in my career, this is how old I am?
Yeah.
I did an impression, like on the Arch Campbell show, I did an impression of Lucille Ball.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah, where I'd come out dressed in a drag.
Really?
I love drag. Yeah, I love drag. I'd be great down in New Orleans. Just put me in a drag show and I come out and go, I am Lucille Ball. It was like early on. I probably did it on the old Primetime Video Zoo with Don and Mike. I did that too. Not proud of any of that, but that's
it. But you were playing character, right?
Yes. Thank you. Moving right along, ladies and gentlemen. Boston Celtics star Kyrie Irving. Boy, is he popular with my family up in Boston. They love this guy. Well, he has been whining about how he doesn't want to be a celebrity, and he hates how the cameras are always on him. You know what? Since we're bringing this up, this is a Charles Barkley story, because Charles Barkley was talking about him whining. He may be number one on my hit parade as far as getting somebody on the show.
Oh,
it was his co-worker Shaq that I wanted for a while. Now I want Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley, Rob, just sidebar.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not working on the show anymore.
Yes.
Rob, you march in here and you give that guy a day off and you run that show.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
1000%. Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah. Really had to twist my arm on that. No.
I feel like I'm walking
Charles
into something.
Barkley. No, you're fine. I love that. Charles Barkley brings me so much joy. So this guy, the Celtic, Kyrie Irving, superstar, bitching about how he hates the camera always being on him. Charles Barkley's not having it. He was on ESPN's Get Up yesterday, and he said, quote, "I don't know him that well. He seems like a good kid, but I've never seen a person so miserable. To have so much success, to have the world in the palm of his hand, he's got to be one of the most miserable people I've ever seen." And then he goes on, Sir Charles, "What a lot of these guys don't understand is when you're a star, you get all the credit, but you get all the blame. That's just how it is." Now, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver seemed to defend Kyrie's recent comments by saying, quote, "We are living in a time of anxiety. I think part of it is a direct product of social media." I get that. "I think those players, they're truly unhappy." They're not unhappy if that. No, I'm not going to pile on Charles's comments. I'm going to let Charles do it, okay? Charles took issue with that quote. He said, "That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard any commissioner say." Charles Barkley tells it like it is. These guys, Charles Barkley, I'll do my Charles impression.
Please.
These guys are making $20, $30, $40 million a year. They work 6-7 months a year. We stay at the best hotels in the world. They ain't got no problems. That's total bogus. I love Charles Barkley. He's right. He's right. Look, social media sucks for everybody who's got any level of fame whatsoever. Because there's so many flipping cowards out there that want to tell you, you know, their worst comment and make it right there so everybody can see it. But that's true. You look the other way because you're making $60 million a year. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but Jesus, give me a break.
Our friend, Dominique Foxworth, is he's a panelist on Get Up on Wednesday mornings.
So, I've never seen anybody so miserable.
So, what's also fast, and I mentioned that because we've had this conversation off air, just these contracts are so massive. What we don't realize, Mike, is that most of these guys that have these dollars, they're still kids. They're still kids. So what the league could do, whether it's NBA or NFL, is work a little harder to really get these players ready for this type of positive and negative. Where
I was in my mid to late 20s when I got famous on a radio show. And I remember going down, and a couple of times there was a, you know, being at a bar or a nightclub or something like that and not wanting to wait in line and thinking that that was my, and later on I reflected back on that dickishness and said, you know, this is about everybody. Who's the who do I want to talk about that's doing that? Oh, George Bush Sr., H.W. Bush. Mm-hmm. That, you know, not only did he try to beat everybody's brains out, but it was his absolute number one priority not to show people up. It's the same thing with being famous. You can't do it. It comes with the territory that people are going to take shots at you on social media and everywhere else for that matter. And because you have attained this level of fame because of your talent and your success, you can't bitch about it. It's not good form. Then,
unless,
and by the way,
unless it's a talk show.
Yeah, well, a talk show.
I mean, we got to bitch.
Yeah. Well, no, we bitch.
Yes.
We bitch, but we bitch to be, I bitch by design to be comedically sound to make people laugh. What I'm talking about is the bad form. And by the way, we live in an era of bad form.
Mm-hmm.
There's bad form everywhere. There's bad form and there's no accountability. We live in that world. I don't know if we'll always live in that world. Go back and watch. All you have to do, pop one of those Jane Austen movies on and watch the way people communicated problems back in the day. You will look at it and go, you know, the idiots will look at it and go, oh my God, how ridiculous is that? But if you are really looking at the way people accounted for other people's feelings, which is non-existent now, you'll see a different time. But with that said, we do live in 2019. I agree with Sir Charles.
Yes.
You know, go home and count your money. Drive your Ferrari around and have a perfectly good time, you know. And by the way, try to behave yourself because people are looking up to you because you're a celebrity. All right, we have to take a break. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. But we'll come back with the second half of News You May Not Need. Not an audio vault.
No.
I don't do the audio vault.
No.
I just don't do that, you know. I could, but I don't.
Do you have one, Rob?
No audio vault, but a wonderful Oscarazzi coming up.
Oh, yeah.
We have Oscarazzi?
They can do Oscarazzi, but that doesn't work with the news back and back. Like, he just did all the news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speedwack set me up.
Best of O'Mara.
Play the clip, Rob Spiewak.
Come on. Here we go.
You gave me a thumbs up.
From their own 21-yard line. Taylor Jacobs in. There's a wide out to the right.
Larry Michael. Play-by-play. Washington Redskins. They
need to have something good to happen right now. Cooley in motion. Brunell, quick screen out to the left side. Santana Moss has it. Breakthrough 30, 35, 40. He's sideline. He's going to go.
He's
going to
go.
40, 35, 30, 20. He's going all the way. Touchdown. The second touchdown of the game for Santana Moss. 79 yards on the play.
A screen.
That's what he.
Thanks, Sonny.
Been working for him.
A screen.
Boy, he is.
That
fast.
Is. I play that fun. Clip. I play that clip for one reason. To demonstrate the incredible ability of our guest Santana Moss, but also to demonstrate what true, wonderful play-by-play is. You know, when
Mike,
no,
on.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, it's just that should be a screen out to Santana Moss. He's got it. He could go all the way. Instead, 30, 20, 10. Yeah, I'm sorry. I love you, Larry, but give me a break. Hi, welcome back. I'm sorry. I'm not well today. Santana Moss. Thank you for
at least Sonny tipped it.
At least I'm glad I didn't have to listen. I was out there, strutting my stuff. So.
Doing the work.
It was a screaming play-by-play opportunity, and it was kind of like, and then Sonny, with the incredible color commentary, scream.
Sonny could have dropped in his catchphrase, which is hot dog.
Hot dog. Hot dog. Give me a hot dog. God bless Sonny. We're here with...
Oh man!
You guys off the chain. It's too early for this, Mike. It's too early for this.
I know. I'm sorry. Thanks for coming in early. We appreciate it, Santana. I got to ask you about the state of the officiating in the NFL. You got some, along with your career highlights. The particular moments jumps to mind. You were, I hope I get this right. It's RG3. Touchdown gets called back. Said he didn't have control of the ball. You get ejected arguing with officiating.
Yeah,
I think officiating. I said to the guys a couple of weeks ago after the championship games, I came in here and I said, I feel as a fan when I'm watching the games now, it gets to a point where it's not who's going to win the game. It's who's going to catch the break by the officials with the reviews.
And, no doubt.
Look, I understand that the reviews are important. They probably improve the calls in the game. But it's getting to be, especially late in a game, it seems like constant review, and what's it going to be and what – And then when you get with all the technology available and you get a call like the Saints-Rams game with the obvious pass interference, that's what's your opinion of the state of officiating in the NFL right now?
My opinion has always been the same. One of the things I've learned from being a player, you can't allow the officials to be, to have the last deciding factor of the game. I think, many times as a Redskin, and even as a Jet, I remember my years at the Jet, we sat there fussing and fighting with the officials for calls. But one of the things I've learned through the 14-year, career of mine, you can't allow them to be the ones that say, okay, we're going to either decide whether you have a chance to win the game or lose the game. Because if you find yourself in that situation, like we saw over there in New Orleans, you're going to find yourself on the opposite side, and it's not going to be so pleasant.
Let me see if I get your point. You're saying basically, when you're up by two touchdowns, that's irrelevant. That play doesn't matter. You just got to win the game.
Doesn't matter.
You don't want it to come down.
Don't
to
want
where
to come down
that.
To the end All to right. where they're the guys to make the decision whether you have that penalty call or not. And some of the things are obvious, like New Orleans. That play in New Orleans is obvious. And you wonder why that, this guy just didn't see it. He saw it. Everyone knows he saw it.
Right.
You wonder why he didn't call it now. That's my question. Why you didn't call it? Because it was two fouls. It was a helmet-to-helmet and a pass interference. So you will never know. And
as someone who played the game, do you have any idea what his motivation would be in not calling it?
Look, for years of watching sports, period, basketball to football, I always said that if you allow the officials to be, have their hands on the game to where they can make something say, this is going to allow this team to win or lose, trust me, they will make the right call or don't make the call at all. And that's what you saw. To me, that's just my opinion. And
so they will influence the game, and you have to take them out of the game, and that means you got to win.
You got to win outright.
Handily,
you have to go out there
outright.
And just handle your business. And I just feel like I've saw that too many times. Too many times I've been on this road watching sports or being a part of a game to where when the officials have a chance to say, it's up to me to make this team go or this team, they will always ride on their decision, and they will cause you the game. And that's what we saw over there in New Orleans.
Yeah, and it's frustrating as from a fan standpoint because, you know, if you, especially if you've got an emotional interest in the game, and I don't, and it still pisses me off. So, you know, I'm not rooting for
that. Was just blatantly, you know, that was terrible. Wrong. You know, it was.
And
wrong.
And in the NFL, of course, these guys go back during the week to being, you know, accountants and dentists and going back to do right. I mean, it's not like in baseball where you got guys that that's how they make their living. Yeah. But it's I think that's always been a factor.
But they still
the NFL
make a pretty good living, though. I mean, they that's still a get side paid, right? job, and they're yeah. making six figures almost, you know, or probably well over six figures. So,
right.
I just feel like at the end of the day. With these officials, they have to have something, you know, they have to be reprimanded for their actions also. You know, if we're going to be fined or penalized for some of the things that we do throughout our game, if you're calling our game, you have to be reprimanded. You have to be put in a position where you can lose a check or you can be fined for not making a call or, you know, penalized as in saying, I can't allow you to official the next game because you're causing people their livelihoods. You know what I mean? This team has been, to me, dealt two tough blows from the previous year of that miracle in Minnesota to now having a shoot. I mean, they could have literally walked into the Super Bowl
right.
if that play was called right. You know, handling, right. you know, clock situations. They was going to handle that well, run the clock out, kick a field goal, or score. And now you don't give the Rams a chance to come down and score or win the game. And I just feel like it was up to the officials. And they made the right call that they felt that should have been called.
You know, it's interesting, an article, I think it was in the Boston Globe that I was reading this morning, about New England and, 18 years, 9 trips to the Super Bowl, something like that, some ridiculous statistic like that. And there's an article, and this speaks to the way fans react, and being from that part of the country, where I went north for my baseball with the Red Sox as a fan, and south with the Giants, because I was in the central part of the state of Connecticut. And I was reading the article that the gist of it was not as special anymore, that you don't have, you know, where Philly last year, the police were greasing up the light poles so people wouldn't scale them if they won the, you know, the championship, where in Boston now, it's kind of like, whatever, that's it. You know, it's weird the way fans react. And this speaks to you. How much, you know, you mentioned it right at the beginning. It's the first thing you said about a championship. When you look back, you can't control. It is a team sport.
Yeah.
You got the coaching. You got ownership. You know, you played at a high level everywhere you were. How much does that gnaw at you at all when you're with two particular teams where it just doesn't happen to happen? And, you know, so many players in the league. Yeah. Have had amazing careers and never gotten that. Well, it's a terrible question to ask you, but I got to ask you because I wonder how you feel about not ever getting the ring in the NFL.
Yeah, it's kind of odd because in high school, I was a champion. In college, I was kind of, you know, I could say that the BCS.
All-American.
No, I was All-American, but the BCS bull crap kind of forced us out of the championship game, but we still actually played for a championship. We was able to still play in the Sugar Bowl, and then Florida State would have handled Oklahoma. We'd have been co-champs. So, to me, I would have been a champion, but it wasn't up in, you know, it wasn't in our hands. In the pros, I just knew whether it was a 14-year career, somehow, somewhere, I was going to get there. I didn't even see the game before the championship game. You know what I'm saying? So
I understand.
It was just I've heard other guys like, you know, Brandon Marshall, who hasn't been in the playoff ever in his career. So I just found it odd to have the career that I had and not, you know, play for a championship because I feel like my play was on a championship, you know, caliber of, you know, talent. And my brother played, 5 or 6 years, and he won a championship with the Giants. And I just sit there and was like, wow, how was I not unlucky? But I look at it, I watch football, I'm still a big fan of the game. And one of the things I've always said is that, you know, when it comes down to the team aspect of football, you have to have everything, you know, going your way at times. You have to be lucky sometimes to see that
game.
It
has to hit on all 8.
Yes.
Right. And it has to hit on
we're not always lucky, you know, and you can have a great career. You can put up all the accolades and all the numbers, but if your team isn't hitting on all cylinders, you know, you're going to find yourself being a part of something that at the end, you're going to see, do you regret, you know, not having that chance, or do you regret anything? And one thing I can say is I don't regret nothing because I went out there and I laid it on the line. And we always had this saying, me and my trainer, leave it on the field. And I left everything on the field. So I have no regrets. I wish I would have had the opportunity to see a Super Bowl. I think that if I couldn't win it, then I would say I don't want to be in it, because you want to have that confetti being on your side. And to not see myself, you know, even having that experience, I'm okay with it, because I don't know how I would have carried on if I didn't have that confetti on my side, being there and not being a champion.
Thank you. That's a good, honest answer.
The Best of O'Mara.
Monday morning on the Mike O'Mara Show, and a half an hour, if you were counting, how much time was delayed by Mike being stupid on the show today.
It was one half hour.
It was 1.5 hour of me saying, my computer doesn't work. I won't go into the weeds with that, but during that entire time, I neglected to say that the camera shot that I'm looking at with Rob and Oscar right now has me looking into the sun. If we could maybe just to adjust that, and maybe someone could peek at it before the shows start, it would be really, really helpful. But then again, that's Monday. Thank you, Rob.
That was an easy 1 minute fix, Mike.
Thank you very much.
1 minute fix.
Now, it was my. I'm very embarrassed.
Don't project on us. We're family.
No, I'm not. I'm projecting it on me. All right.
But Mike, now that we have fixed the shot, you get a better view of what no one has commented on here, and I guess it's just sheer kindness. My new mustache. I have not gone bare chinned in probably 10 years. And today I come in and I have totally Clark Gable.
You're going to have to get up again, because you're going to have to.
I want you to see it.
I noticed this, but I didn't want to give him the satisfaction of drawing attention to it. So I knew, like a little kid at a birthday party,
he was going to tell somebody about it.
Look at that. That is not a smart look.
That's like David Niven.
David Niven.
Yes, Mike, you could go any direction. You could say David Niven. You could say Clark Gable. You could even say Jackie Gleason close to the end of his life.
No one ever looks at that and says, that's a Clark Gable.
Well, you know what? No one ever. When I was doing it yesterday, as it was starting to take shape, I said, this is a horrible mistake. It is really, really bad.
You look
horrible.
Let's bring Sarah in.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
We have to bring Sarah Fraser in right now.
And it was not an easy feat. I had to use a razor. I had to use clippers. I had to use the small trimmer blade. I mean, it's...
Your toenail clippers.
The shape is right. It just makes me look fat and simple. I'm not happy.
It's the truest thing you've said this year.
Yeah, but I had to go with it for at least one day.
Fat and Simple, will be Rob's new book, Fat and Simple.
I'm Fat and Simple.
Wow.
From the Hey Phrase podcast, please welcome our dear friend, Sarah Fraser.
I always have an extra
spring in my step when she comes on the show.
Hey Phrase. And
now we're bringing Sarah in today. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Okay. We're bringing Sarah in for a very specific reason. We'll get to that later. But for now, I was going to have our little vignette at the beginning and then bring Sarah in. But when you brought up this whole mustache thing, we can comment all day long.
I have a before mustache picture and – hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. Hi, Mike.
Oh, my God. Mike, I haven't seen you since the new year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and I hope you had a wonderful holiday. It's great to see you, as usual. Is that a new do that you're sporting today?
No, I think it's just the hot red lip. I'm all about a bold lip. And the last time I saw you, I think that you were drunk on Skype. Like, you and I were FaceTiming on two phones, maybe through a computer. It was the most messed up thing. It was so true.
It was FaceTime to FaceTime.
I remember that.
It was right before the fall.
Yes.
Yes, I heard.
Before the Rob fall?
I heard.
Yeah. I have no memory of that, so that's very similar to the fact that I have no memory of calling my broker either that day, which is...
Oh, wow.
Buy, sell.
Yeah. No, it was sell. It was like, get out.
You caught it.
Get out, Harry. I don't know what it sounded like because I don't remember it, but it might have been something like, just I don't want to do this anymore.
It might have been that, or it could have been, hello, I've decided to make a change.
Okay, no, it wasn't like that. So we have a lot to cover. We have a lot to cover, and this is a why. Because we have both Sarah Fraser here And we will be continuing our investigation. If you're a bonus show subscriber, you'll know that this investigation began on Friday's bonus show.
Yeah.
And
big
it
deal.
Involved the podcast Poobah Charlie Bernie, who runs Podcast Village.
Yes.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's very interested in this, and we'll get to that. But for now, and we also want to get to the Snowmageddon because there's been another crisis in
Big
Washington
storm.
And it's not the shutdown, it's the storm. But first, now I'm getting better. Now you're getting better light on it for some reason. I really
regret this. I thought this might have been a better idea than it is.
John
and was.
Now, Sarah.
John Candy is in the studio.
For context, we have been trying to figure out ever since the holidays why Rob has been doing this weird thing with his mustache. Not the current weird thing you're looking at right now in third person. This weird thing that I'm showing you as photographic evidence.
Oh, my evidence. God. Okay. Yes. What?
So he's had this gap to his nostrils on his mustache for apparently a year, and no one really
More
called
than
him
that.
It's that body part that you shave, Rob. You
it's,
call
it. It's the proper name, Mike. It's the philtrum.
Yes.
The philtrum.
I shave my philtrum.
Philtrum.
Don't you love a man with a shaved philtrum?
This was done for styling purposes, that this was not an accident, and it was something that people have complimented him on.
And I do believe him. I believe him 100%.
Oscar's reality, fake news. No one's ever complimented me on it, but no one's ever made a big deal of it, is what I'm saying.
Didn't a lady do it for you and say, this looks great?
No, she just did it.
At the grooming lounge.
She just did it. She didn't say it looks great. She just did it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The problem is, Rob, is it looks like your nose hairs just came down and then, like, framed your lips. Like, it looks
like there's
really
no beginning,
bad.
No end.
Like,
yeah.
It just, like, it, that's the issue. Like, I understand that maybe it was you were trying to go for this fashionable look, but it literally looks like the hair frames your lips and then goes straight through your nostrils.
I know.
It is the craziest.
That is, I will say, like, this is not the best flattering capture of it, but I do know that it does, this picture suggest, and Mike, we've seen this
shot
before,
in the wild,
the guys that have to sort of figure out where they stop shaving because there's a place where the neck stops and the chest begins.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You need to.
And certain O'Mara men have to be, the O'Mara men, going back to my dad and my uncle, have nostril hair. Nostril hair that unchecked would result in
a problem.
You could create a rope out of it. It's insanity, and I am a little over the top about it, to the point where sometimes I can hurt myself because I take a trimmer and just go.
Do you ever pluck?
No.
Ooh,
oh, that hurts.
No. There are other family members that I have, and my sister, I think, made me very aware of it because she had a neighbor, and he was. He will go nameless as well because it's just too embarrassing. But they talked about his nose hair. And it was the night before she had a cocktail party. And I made a point of seeing this guy, like, right when he arrived.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of... You've seen this.
Yes.
You've seen the nose hair that goes down almost to the lip.
That's when
it's disgusting.
That's when you wish you had the cojones or the foresight to have emergency tweezers on yourself.
I know.
And just go. Yeah. Because the satisfaction of just pulling it out because it's been sticking out for a good... millennia.
I've always felt if you pulled one, it would unravel like the top of a bag of dog food. It would just go.
Old men, I should point out because I'm around them all the time and I am one. Mm-hmm. Old men, as the hair leaves their head, it begins to show up in other places like ears and nose and that.
And Andy Rooney styled eyebrows.
My
as
mom,
well, right?
Yeah. She's a big supporter of the show. So they have the Harry's razor in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have, because she's a rube and she buys everything off QVC, she has everything they sell for any grooming habits, any printing issues.
Right.
It's been well documented on the show.
Printing issues.
And my mom is known to attack my father with one of those micro-touch buzzers when his nose hairs are too long.
That's
amazing. And she will do it at any moment. Like, you'll just hear bzzz, and then she'll get him. She'll get him, and he'll be like, golly! And then they'll just get into it.
I wouldn't let anybody near there. I wouldn't. Rob, how long is this this incarnation?
This is gone today. This is gone today.
Why did you do that?
Because I thought that it would be... I really didn't know. Not at all. I thought it would look better than this, but I never thought it would look good. I just thought it wouldn't make me look, as I said, like a fat simpleton. I don't want to emphasize.
It doesn't make you look like a simpleton. It doesn't make you look like a simpleton. You got to stop licking your lips. Because are your lips chapped too? Are your lips? Because I notice you're licking your.
Oh my God.
Because when I trim my mustache, I get my lips get immediately dry.
Well, here it is. It's a weird sensation all around my oral cavity because I have not had this lack of hair in a long time. I don't know the last time I've had nothing on my chin. It's a very weird sensation.
You look skinnier.
No, I don't.
You don't.
I'm looking at that face, and I'm looking at your mustache, and it's making my lips chap.
That really chaps your lips.
Any feedback from your family?
The wife says, going with a mustache.
Glad things are going well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still, that's wonderful.
Should have said you too, huh? I'm kidding, of course. Wow. Simply a joke. That's all. Sure, you know, we like to keep it lighthearted.
Oh my God, I love that.
Do you think this would have prevented?
At least she noticed.
Do you think this mustache would have prevented Rob from being cast in HBO's Crashing?
No, I think it would have helped.
It would have prevented me from becoming a father.
You're full DJ now.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, okay. Let me get the plug in. So
full
you guys,
DJ.
The episode that you're both in is coming up soon, right?
March 3rd.
March 3rd. Yeah, but
March
Crashing,
3rd. We got about a month.
The new season 3 premieres this coming Sunday night.
That's true.
It's 10 p.m.
This Sunday. 10 p.m.
All right, I'm gonna be all in. Will I be able to like pick up this season?
Oh, absolutely.
And dive right in. And you can also go. There's only 16 episodes leading up, so you could go to HBO On Demand and catch up. Their half-hour episodes is very entertaining. You loved his stand-up special, right?
Yeah,
are they going to run that show, or are they going to just continue to run that Rock movie, that action-adventure movie, like on a continuous? Yes,
the majority of their programming, that is original programming, airs on specific evenings. Mm-hmm. So we'll never get the binge out. HBO works like this, Mike. You pay a monthly subscription, and then
you plug your television into the wall.
Okay. Can I tell you this? I'm really ready to just splurge and go back to DirecTV because the Xfinity I have, and I'm on a borrowed HBO right now, and it's choppy and it sucks and the guide sucks and I've had it for 3 months now.
Mike, you're in the right state of the United States to get DirecTV because my DirecTV has been out since 4:30 yesterday thanks to snowfall.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
the dish is caked with snow. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Have you thought about going out there? That's the first thing I would do before I'd even shovel the wall.
It's way on the crest of the top of the house. It's not accessible.
Oh, okay. I understand that. Yeah. So, Sarah, what do you think? What's your final impression of Rob's new mustache?
How about this? Infirmed or child predator? What does that scream?
Or a combination of both.
Especially when he smiles like that.
It has different looks that it suggests. One of them is, no, Mrs. Carmichael, there's no reservation for you here.
That's the look right
now. It definitely seems, I would say, less child predator and really old school.
All right.
That's good. He wants that.
You definitely are a throwback to the 1950s. 100%. Vincent Price, 1,000%.
Right.
1,000%.
What about Orwell?
George Orwell?
Yes.
Maybe a little George Orwell. Do you know who that is?
Yes. War of the Worlds. Narrator.
No, that would be Orson Welles.
Damn it.
You know what I see? When I see that mustache, I've made the martinis triple strength, and she feels wonderful.
Totally.
For those of you that don't know, we don't say it that often, but those actors, when you look at the old black and white movies from the 30s and 40s, you will go, all of those people were basically New Yorkers.
Yes.
Or that came out west, and they went to the same teacher who said, in order to be in the movies, you have to suddenly develop a voice like this.
There's
that
articles.
Is the way you have to speak.
Like
the
in best Radio example, Days.
The greatest example, Radio Days, is the single best example.
I love that
when
movie.
They have Mia Farrow learning, you know, when she's talking like that. And then she's like, I went to the Cocoa Room the other night. It's beautiful.
Yes.
I love the way they did that. But
This is, folks, enjoy this look because it is short-lived.
So what are you going to do? You're going to go completely no mustache, no
I'm going to shave my entire body.
Really?
No, I will shave the mustache and then it'll come back in.
I want to see
a lot of razors.
You're going to need a weed whacker.
No, you shave the mustache off, and then for the next month, you will be henceforth known as the egg.
The egg.
The best of O'Mara.
Hi, everybody. It's a fabulous Monday on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hail, hail. The gang is all back together for 3 days. And we're here. And I have a surprise. We have a guest that was taping a special across the hallway.
Oh, no kidding.
I'm going to take my headphones off for a second and let her slide in here for a minute. Come around the studio. And ladies and gentlemen, say hi to my oldest.
Yay!
It's my oldest. Yay! It's Catherine. You don't have to put the headphones on. I can't hear if you put
Hello!
The headphones on.
Thank you.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
How are you?
Great. I don't want to go back.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes.
We know it's early.
I made him let me come on.
Oh.
Yes, yeah, she said, that's you sweet. Want me to come? How did you put it? Because you were very subtle. I mean, now you can always come
on. I said,
on.
Hey, you want me to come on?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Want some comedy?
Do you want some comedy? Yeah.
Well, Catherine's interested in doing a podcast with her party animal friends.
Really?
What would the topic of the podcast be?
We were at a bar and we were talking. We were like normal conversation that we always have.
That's your whole life in New York, isn't it? We were at a bar talking.
And this lady next to us that we didn't know just cut us off and was like, you guys need to have a podcast. She was like, she was older too. She was
you know
like,
what,
I would
though?
Listen to that.
When people say that now, is that really a vote of confidence or is it just saying to shut up? Because take it elsewhere.
Yeah,
you should be a podcast.
Yeah.
Don't talk here.
We started talking to her and she started
I'm trying
giving us
to
ideas.
Enjoy my Aperol spritz and you two need to get a podcast and go to the next booth.
You're right. Maybe it was that.
Well, it was entertaining.
Yeah,
why
that's
not?
Good. That's nice.
Right?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So how are you enjoying Southwest Florida?
I love it. I don't want to go back tomorrow. It's so cold.
What's the best part of the trip so far?
Miami was fun.
Miami. We're going to do a recap on Miami. Rowdy Miami. And I'm so glad you didn't let that bartender in Little Havana take you out to show you Miami.
I was not. I was
after
not
your eighth
good.
Drink, you got all O'Mara on him. Dad, it's good. A great idea. I can take care of myself.
I'm braver than you.
I'm braver than you. That was Catherine at the end of the night. Dad, I'm braver than you.
Yeah, okay.
I'm braver than you.
Yeah.
But
yes.
It was really fun.
What she should do is crime podcast after that.
We had some father-son moments.
Oh, that's
some
terrifying, Rob. Okay. That's terrifying. We didn't know where Catherine left. That's terrible. I don't even want to think like that.
No.
But you just remember what I always tell you. You have the gene. You have the drinking gene, so because okay. Are you leaving now?
Yeah,
you're out.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
I don't want
to
be late.
Say bye to Mr. Rob and Mr. Oscar.
Bye, guys.
Take care.
Nice
seeing you. Bye.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you very much.
Love you.
Love you. Bye, bye. Have fun. Have fun.
I will.
Have fun. Out with Carla all day because Daddy's golfing. Nothing's getting in the way of that today.
You know how she left as soon as you mentioned the drinking gene. Is she off to get a drink?
No, but I'll mention the weekend's activities a little later in the broadcast because it was mighty interesting. Mighty interesting. I had a very full and exciting weekend, and that was created by Catherine and me.
That's
when
nice.
We were going to just take a little dull trip down to the water here in West South Florida, and then we went, let's go to the east side.
Woo!
But that's not the number one thing. The number one thing is Rob Spiewak. Three things. Rob Spiewak is back from the flu.
Thank you.
It was his birthday over the weekend.
48.
Four things, actually. He had a memorial for his uncle.
Yes.
Which I understand was very, very moving and very touching.
Beautiful. I would have given my left arm to be there. I was not able to make
Mike,
it because of the disease.
You win.
I said he wouldn't go.
Yeah.
He wouldn't
yes,
go.
Yes.
Did I say he wouldn't go?
You said
or
he wouldn't
did we
go.
Both
you said,
say
no,
I thought I said there was an 80% chance
yeah,
he would
but
go.
Yeah, but I bet that he would go, and I think you took the over.
Oh, all right. I don't remember that. But anyway, and the most important thing, of course, that we have to address is
yes.
Rob Spiewak single-handedly responsible for destroying a television show.
My powers
Which,
are stronger
way,
than ever I've ever
so
thought
tragic.
Before.
By the way, I've been engaging too much with trolls, and I was ready to just jump on these a-holes that joyously were sharing the show crashing
yes.
because they're just It's been too, as we will get to in the show today, because I want to acknowledge the good people that started a thread about the negativity of the TMOS fan page, which is a joke.
Right.
It's turned into a joke because it's not, it's troll land. And the only thing that excites people is when something happens like the show crashing gets canceled. And by the way, I don't know why it got canceled, but it got canceled.
Right.
And, you know, and so everybody was coming out of the woodwork talking, you know, like Rob had anything at all. It was just, I don't know. It was just very mean-spirited.
Rob, he has manifested a veneer of celebrating death. Death of people.
yeah. They said
now, that is true. There is a parallel to the fact that sometimes when we bring up a celebrity, sometimes obscure on the program, their days are numbered. And oftentimes,
yeah, their days, you've done it a lot. And it's not, you know, it's probably, if you added up the numbers of celebrities that have passed when you have mentioned it's a pretty... It would be, if you had a real statistician dive into it,
yeah,
it would be an interesting statistic.
It would be something worthy of examination.
Because you've done it a lot. It's almost uncanny.
I believe what would be on the, if you watch any of those true crime shows, I would be known as a person of interest.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing guilt. Exactly. There's no guilt, but a person of interest.
Yep.
But a lot of people are drawing a parallel to the fact that the cancellation of this very popular show happened within days of my appearance on it.
which is tough.
Which is really sort of a bad thing.
What did you feel like? Seriously, what did you feel like? Did you and me, this is how I would react to it.
Uh-huh.
I would immediately go, oh, here it comes. That's what I would say.
Exactly.
Oh, here it comes.
Exactly.
They're all going to talk to me about it. Because you were celebrated when you were on the show.
Yeah.
And nothing takes that away. You were celebrated.
But boy, you know what? There was nothing like the fuzz on the top of a glass of a freshly poured soda, sparkling with excitement when I was on that show. But then, when it's canceled, someone is shaking a bottle of champagne and going to squirt it everywhere. Because that was the only thing
ridiculous.
They get more excited about.
It's become
but
ridiculous. It's become like every fan page we ever had for the Don and Mike show, for anything I've done for DCR TV, it never lasts. Our fan, we had a great run, by the way, and we still have some very cool people that jump in there on our fan page. But now it is, I'm watching it because they always end up like that. These forums are not necessarily populated but the active minority, let me put it that way,
very
that jumps on these. They celebrate the negative. Like that. You won't get, if somebody comes on and says, I love that story that Oscar told, you're going to get 7 comments. You're going to get some very nice likes, probably 12, 13 likes. If somebody says, Mike's been really nasty, you're going to get 140 likes and you're going to get 35 comments.
Exactly.
Because
they all burn.
That's what people get excited
about.
They all
it's burn funny. In the wood stove. The good, the bad, and they provide this heat, Mike. The heat that we had when Rob was on the show was equal to the heat when Rob's show was canceled.
And the thing about it was some of the people on the threads were celebrating it. Remember last week, Oscar, when I said I got mad about the person that said, what is death sentence about Alex Trebek? Mm-hmm. It just pissed me off.
Yeah.
Because it was just so it's so hack joke and it's just not funny. And, you know, it's like, how cool am I? Because I can make a death joke about a guy that just got a stage 4 cancer diagnosis.
Right.
You know, anybody that's ever lived that world, anybody that's ever been that. But what those idiots don't realize is, and what they really don't. And by the way, which I don't realize, too, because I think when you're doing comedy, You want to come out and you want to be controversial. You want to say funny things. Chappelle does a great riff on why he's not coming back and doing more specials on the whole PC because everybody's offended by something. But when you do that, when it's hack and it's not really funny, it's just amazing to me to identify the cowardice of it, you know, and the lack of dignity of it, which I think you could be. So listen, when we were more dignified and more mannerly and treating each other better, there was fantastic comedy then. Mm-hmm. There was great comedy then. And, you know, guys like Lenny Bruce, who were very controversial, they lived in an era of etiquette. And he got beaten up all the time. You can have both. You can have both. You can treat each other better.
Isn't it, though, Mike? Let's take Rob out of the equation, right?
Turn Oscar's mic up a little bit.
Isn't it funny that the idea that people are saying that Rob actually canceled that program got under people's skin? Because he was on one episode.
Yeah,
he had nothing to do with the cancellation logically.
Right. Yeah, but to still, with that said, and Mike, you spoke to this so perfectly, I was already down because I was sick. I was
your
upset.
Your uncle's memorial that you couldn't make it to, which I know destroyed you because, I mean, you would want to be there for that. Not only because it's your father's brother, but because, you know, nobody likes a good funeral like you do.
Oh, I love
it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Really. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you're like me. There. And by the way, I'm telling the truth. I mean, you know why I'm able to say that to Rob? Because Rob's like me. And there's a part of me that, you know, if you can make it to one of those shindigs, there, you know, it's a good show, is it not?
I had prepared.
Not a funeral, it was a memorial.
I had prepared a eulogy. I had prepared to speak. I was going to, you know, host.
Did you via videotape it?
Carrie actually FaceTimed so I could see the remarks.
That was nice.
So you were able to
I was able to see what was going on, but still it's not the same. But good. I was already down in the dumps because, you know, I'm sick, I'm feverish, I feel like crap. And then my phone starts lighting up with crashing has been canceled. And it's like, oh, God damn it.
Enjoy this moment because I'm feeling for you, which I rarely do, you know.
It was not a great weekend. I'll tell you that.
Oscar's not, though. Oscar's
Would
not
you expect him to be?
Yeah.
No, he's playing to type.
There is a school of thought. I know where Oscar's coming from because Oscar's going to say when he's talking about if you're going to enjoy the splash of everybody associating with you with the show, you got to take that too. I agree with that
happens within a 2-week span. This is the holy grail.
5 days.
This is the holy
It was a 5-day span.
Less than 7 days.
This is the holy grail of like, it was, oh my God.
Not
oh
even
no.
a calendar
oh
week. That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
you can't be on HBO and then 5 days later that show be canceled.
No, you can't.
Apparently you can.
You can.
Right.
I'm writing the book.
No, let me tell you about the show.
It's called Canceled.
That's right.
I didn't like the thread of the Christian comedy. I mean, it was kind of like, I don't know. It made me like get him back on. I think he's a great comedian, right?
Uh-huh.
And I like seeing him do regular comedy. And I wish there was more. I don't know what that. Do you think that had anything to do with it? That they did that? Because, I mean,
no,
that
I
was
think
really
was, I think,
a downer, I thought.
I think it happened in his career. I think it's.
Okay, so it's kind of real that
he's
doing.
Yeah, and there's one more episode.
I did not
watch this final episode because I was in bed too early last night. But apparently the final episode, which aired last night on HBO, ties everything up nicely. And
does he get back together with the blonde girl?
Don't know.
Did he spoil it?
He does not. He does not.
Good, because she's nuts.
Does he get together with the comedian that he met on Rob's
spoiler
show?
Spoiler alert. He gets together with his ex-girlfriend.
The wife.
The little skinny girl that was pretty. His ex-girlfriend.
The comedian. Okay, that was
But not the one that we had on the show.
Did they know when they taped it? Did they know that they were going to be...
What I've read is that they did not know the show was going to be canceled, but they did have an option to tie it up in a nice little bow in case that happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
And see it, you'll know right away it was ham-handed. Like
the way
they were like, oh, everything's fine.
What's the other show we saw where we talked about? Bloodline.
Yes.
Where Bloodline got canceled and then they rushed it to the end.
Boom, yeah. Boom, boom, bam.
Yeah, that sucks.
I'm watching it and I'm like, oh, like he gets on stage with John Mulaney and spoilers again. He has a great like evening of it. Because
he's off the Christian tour, he's back into the mainstream.
Yeah. And there's a funny, it's a great effing episode. But the way that
a lot of people were raving about the last episode.
They race to the end where you're like, oh, fade to black. You're like, now I want to see more. Now I gotta see
so
more. You know what I mean?
There's so much. I will have a TV recommendation that my wonderful daughters who. Just they are nailing streaming video. They tell me what to watch. I don't know how old this one's is and how long it's been out there, but I'll talk about
Bird
it
Box.
A little bit later because it's no, it's called I don't mind saying it right now. I'll talk about it in detail later. It's called You.
Oh, my wife
it's on
watches
Netflix.
You.
It's so fantastically weird.
Oh, it's weird.
It
okay.
is really really cool. It's really really cool. And I'm only two episodes in, and I already love it.
Nice.
I love everything about it. But so anyway, you're on your deathbed. You find out that I would imagine it would be like you know you're associated with it. And people are going to give you crap. That's the way I would.
It was sort of like, that's just great. That's what I was thinking. It's like, you know, and I know
exactly.
it's not I have nothing to do with it. I mean, I am a fly on the wall, not even on camera.
Mm. Yeah, it's like a candidate losing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's like,
that's all it is.
But I know what's coming. I know what's coming. And it came. And God bless them all. I love the fact that you can kick me when I'm down with a fever. Bless
you.
You sounded
like when I spoke to you on Friday, like pure death.
Yes.
On Thursday, you were not. When we spoke to you on Friday and called you, it was horrible. When did you turn your corner? When did you? Think
I would
you
say be, Saturday okay. going into Sunday. My it's fever.
The exact. You have the exact same timeline of the one that I have. It was strain A.
Mm-hmm, and it was the fever broke, but you just still felt beat up. Here's the deal, though. I got the magic double dynamite dose of a sinus infection. And pneumonia, I mean, and the flu at the same time. So I'm still on antibiotics, but the flu is gone. Mm. So it was nasty stuff.
So that sucks. That's why you sounded the way you sounded.
That was part of the reason. Yeah, it was.
Also, you were like, I didn't have that. It's very difficult to kill this incredible baritone.
Understood.
Even when I have the flu.
It only makes it richer, Mike.
What feedback did you get on Robert Wadhams Ford?
Robert Wadhams Ford.
Yes.
I heard he was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he'll be joining us. Will he be joining us later in the week when you're gone?
Well, he hasn't followed up with me, Mike. But
you have to follow. That's your job. That's your responsibility.
That's really Charlie Burns' job at this point.
You know? Oh no, yeah, he's hedging. He's hedging.
Yeah,
do you want Rofo to come in?
I always do.
Let's get me. I want someone. I like threes. So get
I
me.
Do too.
If it's not Rofo, yes. Get somebody to come in and sit in. That'd be fun.
Maybe not Pony.
No.
Ethan.
Huh?
Ethan.
No.
Too new an intern. I try to swing for you.
By the way, did Ethan bring someone in today?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, bring Ethan.
Ethan's friend.
Yes, come on in.
Can we get a name?
Bring in the very confident Ethan.
Ethan, who is dressed up today, looks very, very nice.
All right, he can come over to Oscar's mic.
Ethan, hurry it up, please.
No, Ethan, take your time.
Yes.
All right, Ethan is our newest intern. Yes. What school does Ethan hail from?
Ohio University. Ethan, you go over there, and I couldn't catch your name. I'm sorry. Sam comes over here. Thank you, Sam.
All right. Ethan's making his way to the microphone, and this is Ethan's friend.
I'm good.
Ethan.
I'm good right here.
Ethan.
Hold on a sec.
Okay.
What's going on?
Rob's running the board.
We're here. We're ready. We're good.
Ethan,
are you there?
I'm right here. Yeah, what's going on?
Would you like to introduce your friend to our listening audience, please?
Yeah, this is my friend Sam. She's from Ohio University, sophomore year. Doing great.
Oh, wonderful.
Things.
Wonderful. Yeah. Are you in the broadcast business? Can she hear me, by the way?
Now she can hear you.
Are you in the broadcast field also?
No, sir. I'm in the journalism field, but I am at NPR. So I'm leading more towards the public relations side of businesses.
And, all right. And how do you know our Ethan here? How did you just meet him at school?
So we go to school together at OU, and we have a lot of like the same classes and friend groups. So we've been friends for a
And when are you getting married? No, I'm sorry. I don't
TBA?
Know.
TBA? I'll let you know. We'll invite you to the wedding.
Right. We talked like about it, so we gotta figure out a date.
We have a few more years.
Okay. All right. That's wonderful. Will you let me know? Because I would like to officiate.
We'll get your invitation in the mail for sure.
And Ethan, are you working on getting your mom to come on the show?
We already have it set in place. We got you working.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Sir. And how's everything else going, Ethan?
It's going great. How are you doing, Mike?
That's fine. Fine. I didn't get the permission request for the guest in the studio, but that's okay. I'm just kidding, Ethan. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Can I ask Ethan a question?
Oh, you're rougher on the interns than I am, but go right ahead.
Is that a clip-on or is that a tie that you tied today?
Oh, it's a tie.
Oh, good job. Very nice job on it.
Can I see Ethan?
Please stand in front of the camera.
No, I hate they come around and back and lean over into Rob's microphone.
Lean in.
Come here, dear.
I want to be able to see people. Oh,
hey, buddy.
Oh my God. Right. Are you going to be, I've seen people that dress like you in D.C. Are you going to be handing out pamphlets later on or what? What's going to be on?
That is messed up, That's not fair.
I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. I will never be able to look that good in a suit ever in my entire life.
Sharp.
You got to thank Sam for that. I saw her coming out crazy, so I had to come out with something different today.
That is awesome, Ethan. Now, when you look that good, it can't be just a trip to Podcast Village. Is there anything else you have on the docket today? Anything else you're doing?
Nothing today, but just...
What can they do, Oscar? They got it. Looking like this, they have to go do something. They have to go somewhere. You know?
Well, we have to start, what is it, a Google Doc for new show names for a client of ours? They can do that downstairs. That'd be great.
All right. Well, I'm just talking about like when they're dressed up, they should go
someplace
nice.
They can go out to dinner. There's All About Burger up the street.
Oh, it's a wonderful place.
Thank you. That's our crew. Way to get advice from DJs. That's, you know, I just realized that's the black hole. DJs cannot give other people advice on what to do when you're dressed up because we are never dressed up. It never happens. You can go to like a once every 10-year event that you just got lucky enough to get a ticket to. Yes, disc jockeys. That's what you do when you're
take
dressed
her
up.
To the National Cathedral.
Yes.
Oh no. Beautiful.
The National Cathedral.
You know what? It's one of the most overlooked.
You know how many people are going to look like you at the National Cathedral with Birkenstocks and cargo shorts? What? Walking around going, look at Irv. The candles are over there. Yeah. Yes, sir.
It's often That's overlooked wonderful. When they come to the That's nation's right. capital. It's All a wonderful right.
and,
thing
And now, Cindy, are you?
It's Sam. It's Sam.
Close.
Sam.
You were close.
Sam. All right. Sam, Ohio University, where do you hail from? Where are you from? Where were you born and raised?
I am from Columbus, Ohio. Little small town outside of.
Oh, I know it well. I know it. Yes, home of the Ohio State University.
The Ohio yes, University.
The right. Ohio University. Where's Ohio State? Isn't Ohio State
Ohio
in
State's
Columbus,
in Columbus. OU is in Athens.
Okay.
So right. OU is more like Southeast.
OU came
now,
first.
Now, OU, what
OU
is the
came
biggest
first.
What is the, besides the ridiculously overzealous band, what is the biggest difference between Ohio State and Ohio University? Is Ohio University more, let me tell you, I'm just going to give you this, okay? Because I don't know either one of your politics, but I've known a lot of people down here in Cocoonville that are Ohio State grads. Lots of Ohio. And one of my best friends, Bill Harvey, Ohio State guy. I've always found Ohio State to be just a little bit fascist. Oh. Just a little
You're
bit.
You're painting with a broad brush. How dare you, Mike? How dare you?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And no offense to anybody that went to Ohio State.
It leaves so much open to interpretation.
Ohio University, yeah. From what I know, is known for two things. One, it's a high tuition. And two, it's also known for a great Halloween. One of the best Halloween parties in the country.
I've known
that
it's...
We are known for our great parties. We... Tend to throw them very well.
All right. That's Ohio University or Ohio
yes,
State?
Yes, that's Ohio. Ohio.
Okay. Ohio State is known for, I think, just churning out conservatives. Just like a factory. Sorry, I'm just telling you the way I understand it. That's the
I'm
way
glad
I got
you
it.
Got that feeling in you.
What's that? What?
All right, so Ohio University is known for our great journalism school.
We right.
Because Ohio State, I don't think they have one anymore.
They might not.
No. Yeah. So a lot of people come to OU because
you know why that you know what that is? Because Ohio State says that the Alumni Association goes, we don't need any more fake news people being crapped out into the thing. I'm sorry, I hate to get political. All right, go ahead. I interrupted you, Ethan. What do you know about Ohio State? What is your impression of Ohio State?
Well, I have a couple friends who go to Ohio State. They're not all that bad, but I mean, you definitely hit the nail on the coffin with that one.
There it is. I love Ethan. I love Ethan because he knows what I'm saying is true. That's right. So, you know what? You both look great. And you know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you because I think you both should go out to lunch. Before the show's over, I'm going to recommend a really nice restaurant to you.
Hey, that's very
right,
nice
there,
of
there
you.
You
go.
That's generous. I'm generous.
Generous with your knowledge.
You yes, absolutely.
Knowledge is price power. On knowledge.
Knowledge is
Oscar,
power.
Oscar, could the show, I know, look, I know we're struggling. Could the show... Could
want
the
to pay for their nice lunch? Yes, we can do
Could
that.
The show
yes.
pay for a nice lunch yes, for yes, them so they can go sure. to a nice
we can't,
lunch?
We can't. We can't.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
All right. All right. That's good. No, Take we'll something it. Away from one of the princes.
Done and done.
All right. Very good. All right.
We've
very
never
good.
Paid for Maddie's lunch.
Yeah, what the heck?
I'm sorry, Maddie.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And maybe Maddie should go as a third.
Yes. As a chaperone.
Chaperone. Yeah.
That's right. Well, let me just say it's Kat.
It's Sam.
Sam. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Sam. Mm-hmm. So is it short for Samantha?
Yes, sir. It is. Right.
Samantha. Sam, does your mom call you Samantha?
When I'm in trouble.
Oh, okay. But mostly yeah. Sam. See, my daughter, who was just on the show, who's 23, who just graduated recently, a couple of years ago, is Catherine. But her friends call her Kat. And if I call her Kat, I'm stabbed with an ice pick in the chest.
Oh.
That's what happens. Yikes. Yes, because she likes me to call her Catherine. My other daughter is Elizabeth, and her friends call her Lizzie. And if I call her Lizzie, it's even worse. She holds my head under the sink until I choke to death.
Wow.
Yes. That's it. So that's it. That's
How many
it.
Times has that happened?
What? How oh, many times constantly. Is that? Oh, okay. They're constantly abusing me. We'll have a story about my daughter the party animal later on in the show.
We went over.
Yeah, we have a Miami story, but it's very cool. Well, nice meeting both of you.
Nice to meet you.
You know, Sam and Ethan, good to have you in here. You look great. Go out and enjoy it, and we'll treat you to lunch.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Send them to Whole Foods to get into the buffet.
Your choice of French fries or coleslaw.
Very good. Enjoy. Take care. There they go. They look lovely, don't they?
Beautiful.
Young people. Thank you, young people.
You know what that is? That's the future of America right there.
That's right. People who will be, those two people will be thriving, young, jogging adults when I'm underground. Isn't that amazing to think?
Maybe I'm getting to that age now.
It's the future of America.
Maybe beforehand. Yeah. It's wonderful.
The future. Isn't it nice that they dress up? Ethan was dressed up on Friday as well. And he's like, why? He's like, formal Fridays. I was like, why not?
It is. People dress up. Yes. I think that's a very cool thing. Don't you, Rob?
I love it. Love to see it.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.